Appreciate that good song. If you have your Bible this morning, please go with me in the book of Matthew, chapter number 21, in your Bibles this morning. My boys and I have planned a fishing trip for about a year we've been planning this, and we are fixing to get on our motorcycles and head and catch a plane. And so I'm going to preach about 5 minutes this morning. And, yeah. But you've heard that before, right? But I'm looking forward to just spending some time with my boys. You never get too old to be dad, even though you feel it. You never get too old to be dad. And wonderful truth. Matthew chapter 21, I want to read a passage of scripture here and speak on this subject today. Beginning with verse number 28. Matthew chapter 21, beginning verse number 28. God's precious word this morning. Notice what the Bible says here in this verse. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Let's bow our heads and let's pray this morning. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you for the word of God this morning. God, we know there's life and truth in it. And God, this morning, would you just take our old sinful hearts, Lord, and help us, I pray, this morning to turn to you and ask you, Lord, to meet every need in our heart and our life today. Lord, there may be one here without Christ. They may not be saved today. I pray that today you'd save that one and work into their heart, Lord, we pray, and show them their need to be saved. Lord, I pray that this morning every burden would be lifted, every trouble in our life, God, you would be that balm of Gilead that's needed. And Lord, we just ask you to work in a wonderful way in our life as we open your word and preach it this morning. Bless it, we pray, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Bible has given us here a story of two brothers and a father who obviously was a landowner. And he went to both of his sons separately and he said to each one of them individually, he said, Son, I want you to go work in my vineyard. Now, that was probably a dirty four-letter word to some of them. Work. Work. You know, I'm not too excited about that word work. How many of you are along with me? We don't like work. And the older you get, the less you like the word. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And so the father came to both of these sons and he said, Son, I've got some work to do in my vineyard and I want you to go do that work. Well, there were two different reactions. The first son said to his father, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to do it. He didn't mince words about it, did he? He answered and said, the Bible says in verse 29, I will not. Wow. Now, if you were in my home growing up, amen, Taylor? Can I tell you a story about Taylor? Oh, We can get to the sermon a little bit down the road in a couple minutes. We had a piece of property out in the country when we lived in Texas, about 5 acres out in the woods. And we were going to clearing the land, clearing the brush, you know. And he's about five years old. Seven or eight. I should have beat you more. But he got a new BB gun for his birthday or Christmas or something. And I let him come out and shoot around. Well, I'm grabbing brush and putting it in the pile. And all of a sudden, ouch. What was that? I thought it might have been a bee or, you know, something hit me. I didn't think twice. Then it happened twice. Ow! And I looked around and right in the direction where I felt that Taylor was looking at me with wide eyes. He had that gun in his hand. I said, "Did you do that?"
No.
He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Why did you do that?" He said, "I just wanted to see what would happen." He found out what would happen. Amen. He found out. I like telling stories about my kids sometimes. Amen. I'm glad my dad wasn't a preacher. Amen. Oh. I got to get back to the spiritual part, all right? So the first son says, Dad says, "I want you to go work in my vineyard. There's work to do out there, son." And he looks at him and just says, "I will not." Wow. But that wasn't the end of it, was it? The Bible tells us the rest of the story, but afterward, he repented and he went. So here he says no, categorically no, but eventually he goes. Now the second son, in verse 30, it says, he came to the second, said, "Son, I've got work to do in my vineyard. Go work in my vineyard." He said, "Okay, sure, Dad." How many of your parents have heard that before? "Take out the trash." "I will." 2 hours later, "What's that smell?" I could tell another joke on story on Taylor, but I won't. Amen. It just reminded me of stories. But anyhow, he said, "Yes, I'll go." But when it came time to go, he didn't go, did he? So two brothers, I call these the flip-flop brothers. That's the title of my message, the flip-flop brothers. Amen? They both flip-flopped. And they weren't even politicians. Imagine that. But the question then was asked. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here. He's talking to even his disciples and just a big gathering of peoples around him. And he asked this question, which one of them did the will of his father? The one who said no, but eventually did it, or the one that said yes and didn't go? And the answer was obvious to them. They said the first. And Jesus saith unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." Ooh. That's a pretty tough statement. You know, Jesus wasn't very politically correct, was he? See, truth sometimes is pretty sharp. But you know, the sharpness of truth has a very important purpose. And that is to allow truth to penetrate into our hearts. Because sometimes we're just old hard-hearted people. Amen? Sometimes the truth just can't get in. And sometimes we just need something really sharp. You say, it hurts too much. Well, sometimes it does. But which one did the will of his father? It was the first. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, this second son. We're going to talk about the two flip-flop brothers today. Can we do that? Let's look at the second son. He said to his father, all right, I'll go. But he didn't go. Now, why didn't he go? You know, the Lord Jesus told us that it was his desire when he came to this earth to do the will of his father. That's why he came. And you know, this I got to thinking some thoughts about why would this guy say yes and then he not go. I came up with a few thoughts. First of all, he might have just wanted to keep his father off his back. You ever done that? Now don't lie, you're in church. Amen? We've done that. We've all done that. Dad, get off of my back. You know, you're on my back all the time. Yeah, I'll go. You know, some people will tell you what they want you to hear instead of what really is the right thing to hear. He could have done that. Maybe he just lacked character. You know, maybe the alarm went off that morning and he said, I can't get out of bed. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't used to following through with his promises. You know, I believe if you make a promise, you ought to go to the ends of the earth to keep your promise. You know, there shouldn't be a 10-page legal document to have to do everything, every transaction in life. It used to be a handshake and a man's word was good enough. What happened to that? Maybe we got the second sonitis in our country, but I don't know what he did. But he didn't do anything. He didn't follow through. Maybe he didn't take his father's words seriously. You know, a lot of people don't take Jesus' words seriously. A lot of people live their life just however they want and with no concern about a heaven or an eternal hell forever. Well, I'll tell you something, it's real. It's a real thing. And people ought to be ready for it because, you know, putting it out of our mind isn't going to make it go away. I heard a man one time say, well, I don't believe there's a hell. I've never seen any results of it. I asked him, I said, do you have a refrigerator? He said, yeah. I said, I don't believe it because I've never seen your refrigerator. When I look at you got a healthy body, I think you probably have a refrigerator. And you know, I'll tell you this. A lot of people are trying to push the word of God out of their mind and push the truths of heaven and hell and reality of being right with God. They're trying to push it out of their mind. But someday, it's all going to make a difference. And I think the younger son kind of had that in his mind. He didn't take his father's words seriously. Well, I want to tell you something. We better take the word of God seriously. Because there is a day of judgment coming. Our world doesn't like to hear that because they're not ready. But God's word is a book to prepare us and get us ready for the day that he comes back so that we welcome him back and we don't regret that he's coming back. Maybe he didn't take his father's word seriously. I don't really know. Maybe he thought words and promises were enough. Maybe he meant to go, but he got distracted. I don't know. The Bible doesn't reveal it. And the reason why was not important to Jesus. It was the action that was important to Jesus. It was what he actually did. Can I tell you, God isn't going to come to us today and when we meet God in heaven today, he's not going to ask us how much of the Bible we know. He's going to ask us how much of the Bible we did. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We deceive ourselves when we think God is only interested in our knowing him or thinking him. No, God gave us a knowledge of him so we would do what he asks us to do in life. Amen. You say, I struggle with that. Well, then get over it and start serving God. Amen. Amen. You say, that wasn't very nice. Well, not serving God isn't very nice either. God wants us to please him and serve him. I don't know what the reason was, but I want to tell you something. Human nature can identify with this guy. We can understand that this guy was a guy who said in front of God, I'll serve you, Lord. I'll give you my life. I'll serve you, Lord Jesus. But maybe times got tough and he got distracted or a problem came and he lost that spirit of dedication. We can all identify with that. But I want to tell you something. There's a day when these clouds are going to part. Jesus is going to come and part these clouds in this earth. And when he does, we need to be ready when he comes. So maybe there's some things you said to the Lord in the past. Lord, I'll do this for you. Lord, I'll serve you here. I'll take that class. I'll do this. I'll get back in church. I'll start serving you, Lord. There's some things I can do that I told you, Lord, I would do, but I have not yet done them. You know, it's not too late. Amen. It's not too late. One preacher said, where there's breath, there's life. Where there's life, there's still opportunity. Find that time, find that day when you said yes to God, whatever it was. Remember where you were at? Remember that time you said yes to God? Yes, God, I will. And somehow something happened. Who knows? But we lose sight of it. And our minds got distracted. And sometimes we drift and we wandered away. And it's until we feel that sting of walking in the wrong path that motivates us often to get back. But oftentimes we're like this son. Sure, Lord, I'll do it. I'll be glad to. But we don't do it. But I don't want to focus on flip-flop brother number one. I want to focus on flip-flop brother number two. He's called the first son in this passage. And he's the son that father went to him and he said, son, go work in my vineyard. And he said, no. Man. But something happened in between the time he said no and the time he actually went. Something happened in his life. What happened in his life? Because even though he said no, he eventually went and did it, didn't he? He went out and worked in his father's vineyard. What could happen to him? And I got to thinking, what could happen to this guy that would have made him so straightforward tell his father no? Till one day he's out there working in the field. Can you see the father in the house looking out in the field and saying, who is that out there? Who in the world's working in the... Honey, did you hire somebody? No, I didn't hire anybody. Who in the world's out there in that field? And the father goes out there and he looks. That's my son that told me no. But then, there he is. How did that happen? What happened in between the time He said, no, and the time he actually went out and worked in his father's field. Well, I think there's some things that happened. Number one, he started thinking. He started thinking. You remember that prodigal son in Luke chapter 16? He got all his dad's money and he went out and the Bible says he spent all that he had. And after he ruined his own life, he said, he thought within himself. Can I tell you what would be good? It'd be good for all of us to just sit down someday and get deep in thought about where our life is and where we're going. It'd be good for us to just sit and think sometimes. You know, the problem with our society is it doesn't fit our society to sit and think. We got to have busy, 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 work two or three jobs, and the television's running all the time. If not, you've got 17 emails to answer. I mean, it's hard to sometimes sit and think, but I want to tell you something. It is so important in our lives to just sit and think about our life and our decisions in life. I can kind of see the young man's thinking, you know, I was kind of rude to my father. You know, he's been good to me, and he's done a lot of good things for me. I probably should not have talked to him that way. I probably should have just been kind to him, just gone and done it. I think he got lost in thought. Can I tell you what? It'd be good for every lost soul to think about where they're going to spend eternity. That man who doesn't know God, who's living a life wicked away from God, boy, it'd be good if they just stop and start thinking. And by the way, there's a lot of people who are good people, but they're not saved. And you can't get to heaven by your good works. You can't get to heaven that way. It's a wonderful thing that people are good, but may I tell you what? You can't get to heaven by being good. You can't get to heaven by coming to church. You should come to church, but you can't get to heaven that way. And like Billy Sunday said, going to a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going into a garage makes you a car. But he started thinking. Have you considered your eternal life? Have you considered if you're serving God or not? Have you stopped and thought about what you could do to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with your life and make your life count for God? That'd be a wonderful thing to sit and think. He thought. But a second thing I think he did was he considered his decision, didn't he? He said, you know, that probably wasn't the best decision I made. That probably wasn't a good thing I did. He considered it. You know, sometimes we don't want to consider our own wrong decisions. We don't want to look at them. There's something inside of us, our all human nature, that wants us to think we're always right about every decision. And we're not. It'd be good for us to stop and consider that we're sinners and God wants us to be saved. And once you're saved, consider serving the Lord, getting in church, being faithful, and just living for God every day. Oh, I want to tell you something. The second son may have said no, the first, but he got to thinking. And he got to thinking, man, this isn't the way to go. Oh, thank God that the Lord gives people some time, some opportunity, some quiet places, some places where the Holy Spirit begins to work on you. And even when I was saved, the Lord was working on me as a 13-year-old boy. And I'll never forget that next day going out and mowing lawns that next day. And I was under so much conviction that I thought if I didn't let go of that, if I let go of that lawnmower, it was going to turn around and chop me up. I realized how I felt. And I wasn't thinking about mowing lawns. I wasn't thinking about anything. I was just thinking about, I have a decision to make. Will I trust Christ or not? Will I let a distraction or my own pride get in the way, or what will I do? He considered. The third thing he did is he felt the master's voice working in him. He could hear his father ask him, "Son, go work in my vineyard. Son, go work in my vineyard. Son, go work in my vineyard." I think he could hear that voice again and again. I think it just went in again and again in his voice, in his head, and he started thinking, "What do I do?" Can I tell you, God still works in the hearts of men, and he still desires to work in even the hardest of hearts, even the most closed heart. If we'll sit and consider him and think. He felt God working in him. Oh, there's been times in my life when God's worked in my heart. God's had to soften me because I had my own will in mind. But God had to soften me as he sits still and let God work in him. You know, every Christian, can I encourage you? You need a quiet time every day with the Lord. When you're discouraged, he'll encourage you. When you don't know what to do, he'll show you the light. When you are afraid, he will comfort you. When you're away from God, he'll show you where you've gone wrong, and he'll bring you graciously back into the path that God wants you to be in. He will. And you can learn so much, just a quiet time with God every day. But he felt God working in him. You know, when God's working in you, it's going to culminate into a decision, one or the other. Either he could have hardened his heart and kept his original decision, or he could have yielded to God and said, "Yes, Lord, you can have your way." And there the father looks out and sees his son. Imagine when he goes out and says, "Son, I thought you said no. How come you're out here?" And the son looks at his father. "Well, Dad, I got to thinking. You've been good to me. I made a wrong decision. I made a spur of the moment decision. It wasn't the best decision." And can I encourage you today? Maybe you haven't made the best of decisions in your life, but you can start today. You can. You can start today. And God doesn't hold that past against you. He's just thankful that you're on the right path today. That's what he's trying to say. The message of the two flip-flop brothers is not a message of discouragement. It is a message to help us understand that all us weak, frail humans think the same way, but we don't always make the right decision. And the decision we need to make is that I want to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Are you doing the will of your Father? Maybe you think a previous decision not to is, for whatever reason, controlling your mind. Why don't you give it some thought today? Why don't you open your mind to God and say, "God, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do?" And I believe you'll come up with a decision that serving Jesus is the best way to live in life. Have you come to that conclusion yet? Have you come to that place where you've yielded to the master and you're doing his will? You see, if you're not saved, his will is to trust him and to be saved. If you are saved, his will is for you to be baptized, to grow in the Lord, to get in church and serve the Lord till the day you die. That's his will. So how do we know? Because the Bible tells us it again and again, place after place. so that we're not, when God comes back again, we're not with the arms folded position saying, no. But we're in our arms open position saying, yes, Lord. And we're working in this field. Where are you today? Young person, where are you? Where are you? Are you considering the path of your life? Are you thinking about your words and your actions and where they will lead you? Lost friend, are you considering that you're not going to live forever? That one day we're going to stand before an almighty God. We don't have a choice in the matter. And the clock is ticking. It behooves us, before it's too late, to open our hearts to God, to yield to Him, to be saved, to do His will, and to live your life in a blessed way. Madeline Murray O'Hare was a known ruthless woman who was an atheist. Everywhere she went, she would try to spread her atheistic mentality. But when she died, somebody found her diaries. And they looked in Madeline Murray O'Hare's diaries, and they found a woman who was really very, very self-focused. In her diaries, she wrote, "By the age 50, I want a huge home and a Cadillac car, a mink coat, a cook and a housekeeper." She said, "I want to run for the governor of Texas, and I want to be the president of the United States." But in other places, she said she longed for somebody just to love her. I can't help but wonder, maybe she's a woman who, like the second son, she lived her life telling God no and no and no all her life. And never came to the place where she stopped and thought about what her life was really bringing her. The Bible reminds us, as I close, "He that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Oh, can I tell you, do what God would want you to do. You may have made a wrong decision in the past, but make the right decision today to serve Him. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes this morning.